changed.
Good news for the lonely hearts that break. You are as
bright. You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Thank you for joining us today as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. We're grateful that you're here, and we pray that God will bless you by drawing you closer to Jesus. While listening today, if you have questions or you'd like someone to pray with you, please text us at 772-205-6552, and we will reply with a text or phone call. Today's message is part of Next Gen Sunday. Grace Emmanuel is increasingly focused on training up the next generation of young adults. Our Next Gen Ministries pastor, Robbie Bolden, is speaking to them and us about what God calls us to be at this time in history. The prophet Daniel faced his own point in history. God had judged his people for their sins. Daniel had gone from being a free person in Judah to being a slave in Babylon. Daniel's life was far more difficult. He had been chosen to be groomed by a pagan king to serve that king. The process was meant to teach him to forsake his faith in God. His current world was designed to change him into something other than a faithful God follower. But Daniel had a determination, and his determination was not rooted in stubbornness. It was rooted in the God who is and in faith in him. Join us now as we listen to this message from our Next Gen pastor, Robbie Bolden.
Turning your Bibles to the book of Daniel today. We're going to be looking throughout the whole book of Daniel. My daughter came down this morning as I was studying my notes. She was like, "What are you preaching on?" I said, "I'm preaching on the life of Daniel." And she goes, "Well, you're going to preach the whole thing?" And I went, "Well, we're going to be skipping and going through the whole book. So I want to encourage you just to grab your Bible, get ready. We're going to start in chapter 1, and then we're going to make our way, and we're going to see God do some interesting things, I hope, this morning." And so wasn't that video neat to see the testimonies of what God is doing in those young adults' lives? And God is just doing a work in their life. Jesus gets the credit for that. I hope that you see that this morning. And I want to encourage you to take your outline out. It's in your worship guide this morning and follow along. I've already filled in the blanks for you. So please take the opportunity just to write some extra notes if you need to. So how to be a determined generation. You know, how should we live out our lives in this world, in the culture, in our community? And really, that's what we're trying to accomplish when we're training men and women in the church to be disciples of Jesus. How to take the gospel of Christ to the world that we live in. That it's not something we just practice here on Sunday morning, but it's something that we live out in our lives every day. And so God has a plan that you and I live out every day for him. You know, when I'm struggling on how to respond to life and when I'm wondering how do I deal with this circumstance in my life, one of the things I like to do is look in the scriptures and find examples of men and women of God who lived in particular circumstances that I'm living through. And a few years ago, one of the things I became convinced of and am still convinced of even more today is that Christians are going to be continually marginalized and persecuted for their faith in this country, apart from a genuine revival from God on this nation and in his church. And in the midst of the hostility and the challenges that we're facing today, you know, I kind of just was wondering, how did people in Scripture live that way in the midst of the hostility of their faith? And one of my favorite people that I did a deep dive into a few years ago was Daniel. He was someone who lived in a more difficult environment than we do. Daniel knew the key to thriving in Babylon. I mean, he was a political prisoner because the nation of Judah had stepped away from God, and God sent judgment through the hand of Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar, and the people of Judah were hauled into captivity because of their failure to worship God alone. They had started chasing pagan religions. They began to do just things that were contrary to God's word and his law, and so God judged them. But there were a group of young men that arose from that captivity. Men like Daniel. Other men that you may be familiar with that we're going to talk about this morning, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Men who knew what they needed to do in order to confront a culture they were living in. And this message today just isn't for the young adults or the teenagers. It's for all of us, because we're all living in the same mess that kind of similarly what Daniel faced. Daniel learned what it looked like to thrive in impossible circumstances. And the secret to living in impossible circumstances is this: get closer to God. What? That simple? Absolutely, it's that simple. Get closer to God. You see, God wants a close relationship with you. So how do you and I grow closer to God? Well, one of the ways that God encourages us to grow closer to him is through the difficult circumstances that we face. I was talking to a young lady this week who's a pastor's wife, and she's really struggling with some circumstances in her life, and she kept telling me about all the difficulties and the challenges that she's facing and all the problems that are walking into her front door. And I just kind of just stopped her for a minute, and I said, listen, what you need to understand is that God is allowing these things into your life so that you can grow closer to him, not for you to become angry and bitter and frustrated. Guys, God is allowing our nation to step into the chaos that we are in today, not so that we can become angry at the culture, not so that you and I could be frustrated with what's going on, but so that you and I can draw closer to God. And that's the message that God has for all of us today, that he wants you and me to grow closer to him. And that's what he did with Daniel. When Daniel was hauled into captivity, he was in a culture that was very strange to him. But here's an incredible verse. In Daniel 10:11, it says this: an angel came to Daniel and said this, Daniel, you are very precious to God, so listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Did you hear that? Daniel, you are precious to me. And some of you today, God is coming to you through the circumstances and the challenges that you're facing in your life and in this nation as a whole, and he is saying to us, you're very precious to me, and I want you closer to me. And so that is what's going on right now in our nation and in this world, and that's what was happening with Daniel. And here's the thing I want you to understand. If you're not in a position of great dependence on God right now, you soon will be. Why? Why would God allow those situations of great dependency to come into our life? Because God wants you to draw closer to him. And he wants a relationship with you that is very close. You see, folks, what we're doing here this morning is not about religion. It's about relationship. Who do you think we were singing to this morning? Each other? I don't know who was singing behind me. I'm not pointing anybody out over here on the second row. But I would prefer they not sing to me. I want them to sing to Jesus. I'm always afraid Mark back there is going to turn that mic on the live stream when I'm singing. I sound like a dying cat in a hellstorm. Everybody said, there's a lot of people said amen already. I heard that. And the message of Daniel is this: no matter your circumstances, God says, I got you. We're going to go through this together. And that's the message for God's people. The culture, the government, and your personal life might be falling apart, but whatever is going on throughout your day, today and tomorrow, God's got you. So how does God bring us closer to him? He does it by putting us in this impossible situation, circumstances of our life. And he's trying to create dependency on him. Well, we were at 7-Eleven last night, and Tracy and I were at 7-Eleven last night, and the line was long. And I'm like, what's going on here? And then I remembered, there's a $1.6 billion jackpot on the Powerball. And I was like, I don't know, do you? I don't know, do you? And we're like, no. That kind of money would ruin somebody. Right? And I just know Robbie well enough to know that I wouldn't depend on God as much as I would have without it. You know, this morning I want to talk to you about how to become a determined follower of Jesus in our culture. We're going to look at Daniel, who was determined to live out his faith no matter what. You see, Daniel started out as part of the royal family of Judah, and then he quickly turned into a slave of another nation. Jerusalem was captured by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and burned, and the brightest and the best of the country were carted off as prisoners. And Daniel was one of those political prisoners, along with his three friends, and they made a decision. These three friends made a decision, and that's the same decision you and I have to make today. Will we be determined not to defile ourselves? In verse 8 of chapter 1, it says, Daniel was determined not to defile himself. Early in Daniel's life, he made a decision, and that decision was to live for God. And when you make that kind of decision, every other decision becomes easy for you. It becomes clear for you. When you decide that God is going to be the one you live for, then everything else is filtered through that. You make your decisions, and your decisions make you. You are the product of the decisions you have made in your life. And if you don't like where you're at today, then change your decisions. My dad always told me, you will become the friends you hang out with. Well, that's true. We have to be determined to make decisions that don't defile us. And the only thing Daniel and his three friends could control were the decisions that they were going to make. And no matter what happened around them, they had to make the same hard decision that would make them stand out from everyone else. Now, if you're going to be determined to live for God, you're going to stand out from everyone else as well. Whether it be at school, at work, in your community, in your neighborhood, Daniel was determined that he wasn't going to be like his culture around him. He wasn't going to be like everyone else. So how did Daniel do it? He made three choices. And we're going to talk about those three choices right now. So how do you live a determined life? First of all, he decided that he was going to obey God no matter what it cost him. He was going to obey God no matter what it cost him. As a teenager, Daniel and his three friends were all alone in a strange country, customs, region, you name it. It was very difficult, and they had no help or support. And they were living in the king's boarding school, trying to adjust to this strange new customs. And in verse 8, it says this, but Daniel was determined not to defile himself by what? By eating the food and wine given to him by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Now, the first choice that they had to make was, and was confronted with, was, who am I going to worship? Worship. You might be asking, how did we go from eating food to worship? You may be thinking, well, what's the big deal with having a little pulled pork? I met a Jewish lady this week, and I was wondering how Jewish she was. So I sit there and I asked her, I said, let me ask you a question. Do you eat bacon? And she goes, oh yeah, I eat bacon. I went, okay, so you're not very Jewish. Nothing wrong with little bacon people. Amen, I hear. That's a lot of, that's most amens I got. Why was food such a big deal? What did it have to do with who they worshiped? Well, in both the Jewish and the Babylonian cultures, food was part of their worship. The food they were served was dedicated and devoted to pagan idols. And to indulge in the Babylonian food was understood as honoring and worshiping the idols. And so Daniel and his friends just said, hey, we just can't compromise our faith. We're not going to be able to eat this food because it's going to compromise who we are in our walk with God. You might be thinking, so wouldn't God understand their circumstances and give them a pass? I mean, after all, they're political prisoners. Some might argue that it was even God's fault that they were there in that circumstance in the first place. Just let them go ahead, go along to get along. You ever heard that? Just go along to get along. Isn't that the thinking of our culture, though? No devotion, just compromise. Don't set yourself apart. Don't rock the boat. Don't make waves. Just be nice and smile. Love everybody. Well, we're supposed to love everybody. That's right. But that doesn't mean we compromise our faith. Look at how Daniel handled the situation. And we can learn a couple things from him. He said, look, in verse 9, now God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. But he responded, I'm afraid, my lord, the king, who has ordered that you eat this food and wine, if you become pale and thin and compared to the other youths your age, I'm afraid the king will have me beheaded. I would be a little concerned about that. I don't know about you. And then Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That would be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Please test us for 10 days on the diet of vegetables and water, Daniel said. And at the end of the 10 days, and you will see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. And then make your decision in light of what you see. And the attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier, better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine provided for the others. Now look, Daniel and his friends showed respect to those in authority over them. He wasn't defiant or belligerent to those in charge of him and his friends. He just wanted to obey God. And guys, 9 times out of 10 in our society, if you just want to obey God and you're respectful and you honor people, they're going to leave you alone. And they negotiated a plan with that would allow Daniel and his friends to obey God and allow the king's chief of staff not to lose his head. And most, like I said, most people are reasonable when you work, and they'll work with you, but not if you're always a jerk and a pain in the neck. And you know what I find about a lot of Christians who want to stand up for the word of God, who want to say, I'm going to obey God no matter what, and I'm going to live for God, and they're belligerent. There's a lot of belligerent Christians out there today who are giving a bad name to Jesus because of their bad attitude. They get on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and they just bash and carpet bomb everybody because they believe they're right and everybody else is going to hell in a handbasket. Well, the truth of the matter is they are, but they don't need that kind of blasting. What they need is somebody who is reasonable and respectful to talk to them and love them to Jesus. See, most people are just reasonable, but a lot of times we're just not in our desire to obey God. You see, when you're determined to obey God in any situation, he's just as determined to demonstrate his power over your circumstance. Why? He wants to glorify himself through your circumstance and build your faith. Earlier this year, I was fired from my job at a hospice. Not Treasure Coast Hospice, but the other one. And the reason I was fired was because I invited people from my work to my home for a Bible study. And as a manager there, they said, hey, you crossed boundaries by inviting people to your house to tell them about, to just do a Bible study. It was in my own home, didn't do it at work. But they got upset with me. And I had this big meeting with VP of operations over the entire country and my local manager. And we were sitting there, and they were just accusing me of so many things having to do with my faith. And so much of me wanted just to say what I wanted to say, right? Everybody, you ever been in the flesh where you just had to hold your mouth? Anybody? All right. And I was like, God, why? I'm really surprised by this. Why are you allowing me to go through? And I'm just sitting there talking to God throughout this whole thing. And I need my job, but I also am going to obey God because I felt like God had told me to do that. Several months before, my wife and I talked about it. We did it. And in the midst of it, I'm like, this is so unreasonable. But you know what? I held my tongue and I didn't, I just felt like it was not the place for me. I corrected error and I lived out my truth from Scripture. And I was fired. And as I was sitting there thinking just how unfair this was, God kept reminding me, I've got you. You just be respectful. You love these people and you walk out of here demonstrating my love for these people like you always have. And so I did. Really hard circumstance. And one of the things that, you know, God's in charge. That's just kind of how, I just believe that completely. Even in the firings and the frustrations of life. And one of the things that God taught me was that if I will just maintain my credibility and my love and my respect for people, He will take care of me no matter what. You know, within 3 days, I had 3 job offers. And they were just fined last month for $150 million. Well, you know, the thing is, God fights your battles for you. And that's what He was doing for Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were respectful. They were saying, hey, guys, this is what we believe. Is there a way we can compromise? And they did. Let me ask you a question. Where have you compromised your faith in order to get along with the culture? Is there any area of your life that you're compromising in right now? God elevated those young men because they didn't compromise their convictions. And God is looking for a generation of young men and women who will not compromise their convictions, who will obey God at no matter what the cost. And He is looking for that generation to elevate and demonstrate His power. Are you one of those people? So Daniel made that first decision to obey no matter what it costs.
We pause from today's message to welcome those just joining us. This is the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We are enjoying Next Gen Sunday and a message preached by our Next Gen pastor, Robbie Bolden. As followers of Jesus in our current culture, we are facing the same kinds of pressure to compromise our faith. This culture wants us to look like the rest of the world, or, at the very least, the culture wants us to be less radical in our faith. If we would just yield or be silent about our faith, then we can live out our private life in peace. But our Christian life is meant to bring glory to God. It is meant to draw others to Him. If you have questions about the message or you'd like us to pray with you, please text us at 772-205-6552 and we will reply with a text or phone call. You can also send us a message through our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send any comments, questions, or prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message from our Next Gen pastor, Robbie Bolden.
The second decision he made was he prayed because his life depended on it. You see, Daniel's life was defined by prayer. Check out this amazing verse from chapter 10. I told you I was going to be all over the book, okay? In chapter 10, it's an incredible verse. An angel comes to Daniel. Daniel's been praying. And in 10:12, he says this, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven, and I have come to answer your prayer." You see, Daniel's name was on the lips of everyone in heaven. Daniel was always getting heaven's attention. When you look out through the book of Daniel, you'll see every time he prayed, boy, heaven moved. Wouldn't you like that to be true of your life? It can be. You see, prayer elevates your influence in heaven. If you want to start trending in a place that matters, start praying. Prayer gets your dad's attention, and heaven starts moving into your direction because you are moving in God's direction. And when Daniel prayed, God listened, and all of heaven reacted. And you can pray like that. How do you pray like that? How did Daniel pray? He prayed, first of all, privately. He prayed privately. That was a part of his life. And Daniel, you know, as God blessed Daniel, Daniel elevated in positions in Babylon. And as Daniel grew in position and influence and authority, people became jealous of him. He's that Jewish guy, that guy who believes in God, and he's just getting all these promotions. Well, a group of people just came together to the king one day and said, hey, Darius, let's create a little law that says everyone has to pray to you and you alone. And so he goes, all right, I like that. Everybody praying to me. And so they wrote a little law, and they were doing it to trap Daniel because they knew Daniel's faith was so important to him and he would not compromise. And so it says here in chapter 6, verse 10, it says, but when Daniel learned about that law and it had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with the windows wide open towards Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. Now, do you think God would have understood if he kind of just kind of closed the windows maybe and just prayed? Maybe. But Daniel knew people were watching him. Daniel knew that the world was watching to see how he would react to their jealousy and to their insults of him. And so Daniel was like, I'm going to keep doing what's gotten me here. And so what did he do? He devoted himself to personal prayer 3 times a day. It was his habit. He never missed a day. That's why the people knew to go find Daniel and get him in trouble was he'd have that window open. They could go watch him pray. And I want to ask you, is your life defined by prayer? Or is it your last resort? You see, Daniel was one of these guys who knew if he was going to make it in a culture that was anti-God, that was out to destroy his faith, he knew that his life would have to be defined by prayer. D.L. Moody put it like this one time. He says, prayerlessness is our declaration of independence from God. Let me ask you a question. Did you spend any time this morning praying? Did you spend any time yesterday praying? The day before, praying? Was there ever a day this week that you just did not take the time to talk to God? If there is, then that was the day you declared your independence from God. You see, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Why? Because life is constantly changing. And life was changing for Daniel. And his life was constantly marked by prayer. And 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night, Daniel prayed. Daniel's life was special, not because of his talent, but because he sought the wisdom of God, he fellowshiped with God, and he walked with God. You see, I hear so many Christians, I had a lady one time in my church go, well, you're one of God's boys. I don't even know what that means. She goes, he listens to you. God listens to the man and the woman who will speak to him and have relationship and walk with him. I mean, prayer is just one of these things that has to be consuming your life. Hey, you're talking to somebody anyway. You might as well talk to God. Daniel was committed to prayer, personal prayer. It was part of his life. Not only was Daniel committed to personal prayer, but he was also committed to praying in community. You see, one day Nebuchadnezzar had a really bad dream. It was a crazy dream, a great dream of a statue. And so no one could interpret the dream. As a matter of fact, nobody could even tell Nebuchadnezzar what the dream was. And so he said, hey, all you magicians and all you wise guys, that's kind of what they really were. Not the New York wise guys, but the ones who are supposed to have wisdom. He says, I want you to tell me about my dream. And nobody could tell him. So he said, all right, I'm going to kill you all. And you know who that included? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And And Daniel learned about it. Daniel and the boys found out about it. And Daniel goes, hey, listen, guys, let me pray with my friends and let's see if God will answer. So Daniel and the boys were men who prayed together. Hostile circumstances will change how you pray. And King Nebuchadnezzar had this dream that no one could interpret, so he decided to kill them all. So this is what Daniel did. In Daniel 2, 17 to 20, it says this. Then Daniel went home and told his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, what had happened. And he urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret, so they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon. I think that's kind of reasonable. That night, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. He said, praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. You see, Daniel and the boys came together to pray for God to reveal the meaning of the dream. One of the things you saw in the video this a little earlier was some of the young adults talking about them coming together to pray in community. One of the things we're trying to teach them is that God works in community, and especially he works in prayer. You know, Tuesday night we have the War Room Prayer. That is very important to this church. And you know, and I'm sure in a room this size or whoever's watching today or who will be listening soon, there are things going on in your life that no one knows about, that you're struggling with, that's beating you down. And you know what? That's a shame, because it doesn't have to be that way. There is a community in this church that is waiting to pray with you. There is a community in this church that is willing to go to battle with you for the needs and concerns on your heart. But the reality is, many of us keep those things to ourselves, and we try to handle life together by ourselves instead of together. And what happens is we tend to get defeated and beat down because of all the struggles we're going through. Daniel knew better. Daniel had a prayer posse. Do you have a prayer posse? Anybody know what a posse is? Everybody know one? Yeah, we all need a posse. Jesus had a prayer posse. Men he prayed with, and so should you. Currently, there's three guys in my life, Paul, Nathan, and Michael. These guys, I prayed with them this week. Man, when things are going hard and heavy in my life, when challenges are stacking up, I can't handle them myself. I need people who are by my side praying with me and going to battle with me, and so do you. But so many times, so many of us, we do this by ourselves because we're afraid to tell somebody what's going on in our life. You may think, hey, you know, if I tell them what's going on, they'll know my life's messed up. Hey, let me let you know a secret. Your life, we already know it's messed up. No. Isn't that why you're here? I didn't know I was at a perfect church. I'm sorry. I screwed it up by coming here. Why do we need help in prayer? Because we have an enemy. Daniel had an enemy. In Daniel 10, 12, and 15, it said this, then don't be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God. Your request has been heard in heaven, and I have come to answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I'm here to explain what happened to your people and what will happen to your people in the future. For this vision concerning a time yet to come, while he was speaking to me, I looked down at the ground, unable to say a word. I mean, there was a battle going on in Daniel's life, a battle that he didn't know about. The kingdom of heaven is a battleground, folks. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 6:12. He says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly realms." I know Pastor Sam's talked to you about it. He wrote a book on this, I think, didn't he? Yeah. He preached a series of sermons on it. Daniel's life was one spiritual battle after another. Guess what? So is yours. My wife and I, I talked about my prayer posse. My biggest prayer partner is my wife. Man, if you're not praying with your wives, you're dumb. I'm just going to tell you. My wife is one of the greatest prayer warriors there is. I mean, she's closer to being perfect than I am. Well, you ask all her friends, they'll tell you. Sue will tell you. The stepbrother Jesus put it this way in James 5:16, "Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." We need a prayer posse. Daniel had one. And God did some amazing things through them. The third decision that Daniel made was he made the decision to speak up. Daniel wasn't intimidated by those in authority over him. He respectfully spoke up. After King Nebuchadnezzar passed off the scene, King Belshazzar came to power and threw a major party. And one of the things he did was, he wanted to disgrace the God of Israel. And so he took the instruments, the cups and things that came out of the temple in Jerusalem, and he brought it to the party because they were drunk as all get out, and they were just having themselves a good old time. And one of the things that he did, they just started drinking from the cups of God. Big mistake. And so, y'all know the story, the handwriting on the wall. If you don't, go to chapter 5. You're going to get to read Daniel all week long. Go to chapter 5 and you'll read the whole story. And Daniel was called in to interpret the writing on the wall. And Daniel said this, "You are his successor, King Nebuchadnezzar, O Belshazzar, and you know all this, yet you have not humbled yourself, for you have proudly defied the Lord of heaven and have these cups from the temple brought before you. And you and your nobles and your wives and your concubines have been drinking wine from them while praising gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, gods that neither see nor hear nor anything at all. But you have not honored the God who gives you breath of life and controls your destiny." And then he goes on to predict that his kingdom would fall that night, and it did. By now, most of them knew that Daniel was a man of God. The king knew it. And when somebody knows you and God are tight, then they pay attention to what you have to say. If you're a person who goes to work tomorrow, and one of the things I love hearing from my group on Sunday nights when we meet every Sunday night at 5:30. We have three other groups that meet. And as we meet with our group, one of the fun things I get to do is just to hear their interactions at work, as they live out their faith at work. And it's awesome to hear that they're living out their faith in a hostile culture. And they're not holding anything back. And like Daniel didn't hold anything back. In a respectful way, he told the king that his kingdom would end that very night because of his pride. You see, there comes a time when a man or woman of God has to speak the truth in love. And I'm not talking about blasting someone on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. What I'm talking about is a face-to-face loving confrontation in front of that person. And Daniel made it a practice of speaking up for God. When was the last time you spoke the truth and spoke up for God? You see, there are times when we're stuck in our sin and our hurt and our indifference, which requires someone to speak up and tell the truth in love to us. See, King Nebuchadnezzar was being warned by God to change his ways. In chapter 4, he didn't heed any warnings. And Daniel, being called to interpret the dream, gave him the bad news. In chapter 4, verse 27, it says this, "King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning. Do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper." Here's a slave from Israel. Here's a captive from Israel going to the king and going, "You're a sinful, prideful man. Please, stop it. Do good. Follow God." And if you remember the story, he didn't do it, and what happened? The guy became like an animal, started eating and grazing, grew real hairy and ugly, I'm sure, had long nails. I mean, read the story, it's awesome. If you defy God, you better be careful. Daniel, with humility and love, also shared the truth that God wanted him to speak. Did Daniel and his friends ever suffer for being determined to live for God? Of course they did. Remember the lion's den? Remember the fiery furnace? Of course, when you share the truth of God in a loving way, what happens is that many times the culture might reject you. And that is okay, because God has got you there and will bring you through it. But what happens is, when you and I stand for the truth of God and we are working out his plan for our life, this is what happens. God is glorified. Chapter 4, verse 34 says this, "After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven." This was after he became an animal and he repented. He said, "My sanity returned and I praised and worshiped the Most High God and honored the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting and his kingdom is eternal. All the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people of the earth. No one can stop him or say to him, 'What do you mean by doing these things?'" You see, the world will see God when you and I stand up for God in this culture. When God shows up in your life, people know and glorify God for it. Not only does God get the glory, but people are rescued and saved. When Daniel was rescued out of the lion's den, this is what King Darius says. King Darius sent the message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Did you hear that? Throughout the world, peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout the kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the nation, in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and reign of Cyrus of Persia. When people of God become determined not to defile themselves, God will use them to change the world. Folks, that is what needs to happen in our nation. God needs to see a church that is determined not to defile themselves and live for God. The hope of our nation is not on Tuesday. The hope of our nation is Jesus Christ. Tuesday's not going to hurt, but Jesus is what can change lives. And that's what he's called us to do. Every trial in Daniel's life was used by God to save and rescue others. Your trials and your troubles are designed to bring salvation and rescue to other people. Stop whining about them and embrace them. Use them. Let God change you. Daniel served under three different administrations and governments, and they always changed around him. But God was the same throughout his entire life. If you're worried about the future of your kids, stop focusing on who's in charge of the government and the White House and focus on the one who's running the universe. What are you facing today and in your future? No one knows, but God does. When God's people are determined, then he can use us and you can make a difference in this world. That's what we're trying to build in the next generation. And that's what God's wanting to do in your life and in your grandchildren's lives and your children's lives. Will you be the one to help lead your family to be determined to live like Daniel. Would you pray with me this morning? Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness and your love for us. We thank you for the clear word from Daniel that we can be men and women of God who stand in a culture that desperately needs you. Lord, our government needs to change, but our government can only change when your people stand in truth and live it out. And so, Lord, I pray that we would put more priority on our walk with you than what's going on Tuesday or any other election day. Lord, we need you. This nation needs you, and we need revival. And I pray that your spirit would move powerfully in this church and in the churches of our community and this state and this nation, Lord, because without you, we are desperately hopeless. And so this morning, Lord, we come to you and we ask you to do a mighty miracle. And it's in your name I pray today. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. A bold life lived for God will always show the power of God. Please join us for some discussion about the message. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism. Joining us today are Jen Osborne and Mac McManus, two of our members here at Grace.
I was really caught and struck, and there was a lot of wonderful things that Pastor Robbie was talking about, but the biggest thing that came and stuck out to me was community, the importance of community. We need community with other believers. I'm convinced that Daniel would not be the stalwart of the faith that he was without these three men who did life alongside him. That's why the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians says in chapter 6, verse 10, to do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. We have 100 scriptures, the one another scriptures. We are to love one another, care for one another, serve one another, honor one another. We only can do that if we are in lockstep in community. I know that I would not be where I'm at today if it wasn't for mentors, if it wasn't for brothers and sisters in Christ who love me enough to tell me the truth, even when it stung, even when it hurts. We need each other. And as cliche as it sounds, without each other, without true Christian community, we're going to hit a ceiling in our growth. We're going to hit a ceiling in how we are running the race. If we want to finish our race well, if we want to run through the ribbon, hit the finish line running, it's going to be in lockstep with other like-minded brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's my encouragement. Maybe you're in a furnace right now, metaphorically speaking. Maybe you're in a fire. Maybe you're going through some hardship. And maybe if you aren't, like Pastor Robbie said, you eventually will be. So if you don't have those people, I want to encourage you. Find those people. Your life will count on it. Your spiritual life depends on that. Do you have somebody? Do you have a couple somebodies to do life with? The old adage, everyone should have a Paul. Everyone should have a mentor. Everyone should have a Barnabas. Everybody should have a co-laborer, a friend. And everybody should have a Timothy, somebody that you are pouring your life into, sacrificing your life into for the glory of God.
I'm struck by the fact that our culture, and especially in America, is becoming more and more like Babylon or Medo-Persia. It's becoming increasingly difficult to be a Christian. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of Christian that claims connection to a church or has a social kind of faith, because this kind of faith can yield when worldly pressure or fear presses in on us. But for one who wants to truly follow Jesus, it's tough. And you know what? Jesus told us it would be tough, and he said it's going to get tougher. You know, our Christian forefathers, they went to be tortured or be eaten by lions. Our brothers and sisters in China or Iran face the same stuff, this same struggle against a worldly pressure. You know, the church in Iran today is one of the fastest growing churches on the world. Maybe it's because of persecution. Daniel faced these things, and solutions are offered by many. Some would give political power as a solution. If Christians just had power, we could change things. Some simply say, chase your best life now. But this pursuit of comfort or prosperity is always going to require a compromising of God's truth. But you know what? Things may change for us, but Daniel tells us the solution God offers, and it's the same one he's always offered. It's obedience to him in all things. It's a dependence on God in the great and the small. It's making his truth our conviction. It's dependence on God, looking to his good and loving sovereignty in all things. And finally, it is a declaration of our faith for his glory. That's the solution to worldly pressure. That's how to live a determined Christian life.
So as Pastor Robbie was speaking about living in a time of hardship, I immediately thought Apostle Paul. He, in my opinion, is one of the most inspirational individuals in the New Testament. Despite continuous persecution, he continued to flip his perspective to see the circumstances through God's eyes. One instance in particular was when Paul and Silas sat in prison after being stripped and beaten with wooden rods. While many may have and very well would have complained and grumbled, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. I think about our society today and how many complain and grumble over the simplest things, the very little things. But if we truly want to display our Christ-likeness, we need to resemble these biblical examples like Daniel, Paul, and Silas, that when trials and challenges come our way, we rejoice and continue to stand tall, knowing there is good that will come from it all. So I would like to end with this passage, James 1:2-4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing.
In Pastor Robbie's survey of Daniel, his first point was to obey God no matter what its cost. And then he depicted how Daniel lived that out. True obedience to God. Doing versus being is something that I think characterizes the church, not just today, but in the early days. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" These people in this passage of scriptures were doers, but they were not rightly related to the Lord. They were not being in that relationship with the Lord. Today, many people are focused on doing instead of being. Jesus broke it down quite succinctly when he gave the commandments. The rich young ruler said, "Lord, which is the greatest commandment?" And instead of giving him one of the 10, he said, "Let me give you the two greatest commandments." And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength." And then he said, "And the second commandment is, love your neighbor as yourself." And he said, "If you do these things, you will do all the rest of the commands that I have given." So Jesus keeps it simple. He broke the 10 commandments down to 2. And that's what he calls us to do, is to follow his commandments. And then he becomes even more specific. He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Again, he didn't give us 10. He didn't give 600 that the Jews were practicing in his day. He limited it to 2. And so the question is, how are we doing with those 2? He says in John 14:21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." And so the question is, do you love Jesus? And if so, how are you demonstrating that love? Are you demonstrating that love by doing this and doing that? Or are you demonstrating that love by being in a right relationship with him?
I want to make a kind of a statement here to end what we're saying today. As senior pastor of this church, the man you just heard preaching is Robbie Bolden. Robbie is our newest pastor here, our next-gen pastor, pastoring students from 19 to 39 years of age. And this is just so perfect of a passage to talk about Daniel and the influence that he had, not just on the Jewish people that were stuck there in exile, but then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His influence didn't stop there. I mean, we love those stories of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but his influence deeply affected a little girl who wasn't born yet, but who would eventually be born, a little girl named Esther, who would have an enormous influence on her whole society. And then I am convinced, as I look at the timeline, Esther had a huge influence on a young guy named Nehemiah, probably a young, little bit older guy named Ezra, who Nehemiah would eventually go back to the very city that Daniel first left, Jerusalem, and rebuild the city in preparation for the coming Messiah. So just watching the older teach the younger, and that's my statement to us. I mean, I'm 65 years old now. I was 32 when this church started. And I've watched the generations age, I've watched myself age, and then how important it is to bring those younger generations into not just a relationship with Jesus, but into a deep, deep relationship with the Word of God, and to be able to unfold the Word of God. And we often told those who are coming behind us, one of which is Pastor Mitchell, that you've heard sitting at this table today, that it is so critical. You may be a different generation, you may act different, think different, dress different, talk different, but we have to be running the same race. We have to be focused on the exact same Word of God. We have to be passionate about our faith. We have to be passionate about prayer. And my suggestion to all of us that are listening to this today is, if you're older out there today, you need to be passionate in passing your faith on to younger people. And if you're younger out there, do not dilly-dally around. You bury yourself in the Word of God. You bury yourself in a church. You bury yourself in leading other people so that you can take our place, so that we can pass the baton to you, and you can carry that baton faithfully to the end of your life. And I'm praying to that end here for the next few moments. Father, we do pray for those who are listening today, those who are older, that they would truly give away their faith, not just in a surface way, but pour themselves into the younger generations. And then that those younger generations would so pick up the baton that they would run hard the same race that has carried the church for the last 2,000 years. And when people like myself are old enough we can't teach anymore, they're in our place. They're standing there. They're proclaiming the Word of God with everything in their being. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to the program today. Daniel influenced three kings. God wants you to influence your world. We want this for you. Please text us at 772-205-6552, and we will reply with a text or phone call. You can also go online to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Contact Us tab. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday morning at 10:40 a.m. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in Northport, St. Lucie, just west of US 1. For more information about us, please visit our website. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May the power of God cause you to be determined this week. Please visit with us soon.
I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor rep, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.